This show is part of the Pod Tyrant Network. For more podcasts, interviews, and content, visit podtyrant.com.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who I think might be starting a Agent Carter podcast in 2018, Adam Farmer.
If the show is still going on, you got to. She has to live on like Danny Pink, right? I mean, spoilers, they killed her off in Civil War. Someone has to carry the torch, especially with it getting canceled.
Is it canceled? I don't follow that show.
It's canceled.
I just know you're a big Haley fan, so.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, whoever might be listening, I wouldn't go that far.
You're big just, Haley as a Doctor fan, though. You've been pushing it.
There you
bit.
Go. Yeah. See, like, I don't know. To me, it makes sense, but we can get into that.
We're going to cover that stuff. But, so we're back. Bad Wolf Radio. You know, it's been a little over a month since we recorded our last episode. So, with the big break, we're waiting for Doctor Who to come back. We know when it's coming back now, so that's good.
Yeah, we have a time frame.
We have a date.
Get closer.
And so, you know, our Bad Wolf Radio episodes have been spaced out a little bit more. But we will get back when the show comes back. We will get back to more weekly episodes. But in the meantime, you know, we'll kind of pop in here and there whenever there's enough news to talk about.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, we're doing better than the other Bad Wolf Radio podcast that hasn't recorded in a while. So,
wow, just throwing it out there. What if they're like listeners?
Oh man, I'm sorry, guys. You're welcome to join us anytime.
Yes, that would be awesome. Like the crossover episode.
Yeah, the epic crossover. We're two parallel universes.
I think they only recorded like three episodes, and that was way back in like 2007. So it's been a while. We have claimed the name.
They're in a Time Lord painting. They're just waiting to come out at some point. When the podcast is good enough, they're going to take it over.
But yeah, hey man, if they listen to our podcast, sure, let us know. We'll have you guys on.
We're going to get random emails from people who have no idea what we're talking about, but they want to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
We'll take you as well. We'll take everybody.
We haven't had a guest in a while. We're due for that again, too. We need to reach out to maybe Bonnie Burton again or Amy Ratcliffe.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do.
But, so we're going to start out the episode talking about some sad news. It's not new news, but it's been out there for a while now, but we did want to mention at least the death of John Hurt.
Yes,
the War Doctor. So very, very sad to see such a talent go. But we wanted to kind of just spend some time talking about his time as the Doctor, which was brief, but just kind of giving our thoughts on his time as the War Doctor.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely brief. He has one episode. I believe some audio dramas floating around out there, and maybe a couple comics. But he is a memorable Doctor that's rewatching the 50th anniversary episode where he takes on the coat of the War Doctor. He was a solid Doctor. John Hurt has the talent to go behind it. He has the experience, but that was one solid performance. It really was.
Yeah, it definitely was. And, as much as I was sad that they didn't go with the original plan of getting Eccleston back to be in that episode, I mean, if you're going to find somebody to replace Eccleston, you know, go big or go home, right?
Yeah. And
they went big. You know, John Hurt is a legendary actor. He's a knight. He's knighted, right? You know, sir.
I believe so, yeah.
So he's been in a lot of stuff, you know, everything from Indiana Jones to Harry Potter, you know, and he's been in much more than that. Alien, I think, he's so kind of a bit of a legendary actor, and, you know, he put in a great performance in Doctor Who in the 50th anniversary. So yeah.
Yeah, and I love just in that episode. I went back and watched it, just because honestly, it's been a while since I watched it, and I'm a sucker for Smith now. I'm a sucker for Tennant. Plus the news with John Hurt, and I wanted to revisit that. I just every aspect about how he played the Doctor, from the ups and downs to the way that as a younger Doctor he made fun of the older Doctors as being younger than he was, and just his bravado, but yet you definitely got a sense that he didn't want to do what was facing him in that episode. I love that Doctor. Honestly, like, he is probably one of my favorite Doctors, and for him to only show up in a hour long special, that's saying quite a bit.
And you have the War Doctor Funko Pop, don't you?
I do, and that's all thanks to you. He's sitting on my desk. That's heck of a time. That's...
Yes, I did. I did send you one for Christmas.
You did,
and I actually couldn't allow for you to have one and me not have one, so I have one as well.
So. I'm actually very glad to hear that, because I kind of felt guilty to have the War Doctor and you not have one. But hey, now I feel better about it.
But as someone who actually purchases many Funko Pops, he's the only Doctor I have, actually. I haven't gotten any of the other Doctors. I actually got him first. And so he sits right next to my Funko TARDIS on my desk at work.
That's awesome. You need to give the TARDIS a little bit of damage to match his.
Yeah, right. Scuff it up a bit. But I actually had the Titan one. Titan did a TARDIS kind of.
Yeah, they did. You know,
and it says Bad Wolf on it. So that one's really cool. But it's kind of misshapen. The Funko one is actually like shaped correctly. Like the TARDIS and the door opens, so you can actually fit the little Funko Doctor inside. So nice. I need to collect the other Doctors so I can, you know, kind of have them gathered around the TARDIS or something. That would be pretty cool.
The Funko does such a solid job with everything they do. That's, I mean, from there, they have the little mini ones. I have quite a few Marvel of those, and then they have the larger figures, and I have a couple Star Wars. I have the War Doctor now. Like you said, it's the only Doctor I have, which I'm surprised, because I've looked at him at Hot Topic long enough without picking one up. But yeah, they do such a great job. I love them. That's definitely a mainstay in my office.
We're actually going to talk about another Funko product that's coming out, but we're going to save that till later in the episode. But yeah, so kind of back to John Hurt. Somehow we got off on a Funko Pop trail there. But so do you see him as a really good one-off Doctor? Or do you think he's a Doctor that could have actually, you know, been the type of Doctor you would have wanted to see in a full series?
After going back and watching, I definitely could have taken more of him. I think his storyline would probably be a good deal different from anything that we have in the new Who. And I'd be really interesting just to see how his character goes, because I mean, some could draw the comparison age wise and also some personality similarities between him and Capaldi's Doctor, but yet they seem so dramatically different if you watch them in close proximity to each other. To answer your question, heck yes, I could have taken quite a few more episodes of John Hurt's War Doctor, especially like those that led up to the 50th anniversary special. That would have been amazing to explore on the screen. How about yourself? Would you have taken more, or do you think that would have ruined how special of a performance John Hurt gave?
I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier today and trying to decide what my answer was going to be. I definitely would have liked to see more of him, and I kind of want to explore what else is out there. I know there was a novel. I'm not sure if it hit comics. I think it might have, but I know they did a lot of the audio stuff. And there's, I think that I was looking at it. I think there are like 4 volumes that they did with the War Doctor. And so John Hurt actually does the voice in the audio dramas. And the 4th one is coming out like this month. So it actually hasn't been released yet. Huh. And so I thought that would be kind of a cool thing to go back and explore, because it is John Hurt's voice. So he is playing the Doctor, but it's just audio. to go and explore his portrayal of the Doctor, you know, with an actual companion, going through these different adventures.
Yeah, it definitely would be. I'm just looking at the title of this one, and it's The War Doctor: Casualties of War. It's exploring the lead up to the 50th anniversary. So, yeah, I might have to check that out.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I've listened to some of the Big Finish stuff. Specifically the Eighth Doctor stuff. I know we had talked about it kind of early on in Bad Wolf Radio, back when we were first diving into, you know, because of the return of the Eighth Doctor leading up to the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
You know, it got us both really interested in that character. So I jumped into listening to some of the audio dramas, and it was great. I loved listening to them, but it kind of fizzled for me. I didn't, you know, continue on with more of them. But now this is, you know, with the untimely death of John Hurt, it kind of has now piqued my interest in learning more about the War Doctor. Would I want to see him in an entire series? I don't know. The personality that he had as the Doctor, I don't know if it's something I would want as a series, maybe more than just the one-off. But, you know, that doesn't, not taking anything away from his performance, just his take on the Doctor is not typically what I enjoy about the Doctor.
Yeah, and I think that's what draws me to it too much, or so much, is that because it is so different, and it is a, I mean, we have the Doctor formed by what he believes he's done, not necessarily the Doctor prior to that, at least in the New Who stuff. Obviously, you have a different Doctor before that, but that is the Doctor we like, is the Doctor that's been formed by the moment, by the event. It'd be kind of fun to explore a New Who version of the Doctor that's going through everything that led him to that decision, no matter how the 50th anniversary ends up at the end, with that decision. But I don't know. I think I would be curious just to see how, for a greater story arc, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what brings him to that moment to sneak in and steal the moment, and why everybody else hates him so much.
Yeah, he almost seems a little too nice as the Doctor. You know, like, I'm used to the Doctor. I mean, not that the Doctor, you know, Smith and Tennant's versions of the Doctors weren't necessarily mean, but he was almost too human in a way. Like, he wasn't goofy and silly, you know, and kind of like the, you know, the brilliant kind of mad scientist that we get with the Doctor. And he also wasn't kind of grumpy and mean like we've gotten with other Doctors. He was this, like, almost like nice, friendly grandpa.
Yeah, I mean, there's one line in particular that really stuck out to me this watch through, is when they're in the Black Archives and the Tennant and Smith have just tricked Lethbridge Stewart and the Zygon into discussing terms, and both of them don't know which is a human, which is the Zygon. Clara approaches the War Doctor and she makes some comments about how she can see the regret in Matt Smith's eyes every day, and Hurt, as the War Doctor, makes some comment about, and how many people has that regret saved? And it's just that idea of, like, Tennant and Smith and Eccleston, they have this baggage that makes them harsh and cruel at times, that makes them make these decisions to have a greater reach, or to save people to an extent, even though there's harm. But yet the War Doctor hasn't come to that point yet. He hasn't made that decision that then causes him to react in such a way. He doesn't have that regret fueling his decisions and his desires. And he views Smith and Tennant as being brilliant for having that and pushing forward with it, but he doesn't have that driving him yet. He doesn't know what that experience is. And I'm waxing eloquent right now about the War Doctor, so I apologize. But it's just, I'm so interested in that character who doesn't have those things that have so typified the Doctors of New Who, of, like, they're driven by what they've done, by the regret of it, by the pain of it, by the memory of it. It fuels what they do. It fuels how they save worlds, because they've already taken a world. That's not the War Doctor. He doesn't know what that is. So what is that Doctor like?
We may in our, because we haven't gotten too much into the classic Doctor Who stuff, you know, we aren't as familiar with the character as kind of what led up to the Time War and all of that, and what things the Doctor has done previously. Because I don't feel like the Doctor is too different, you know, in the first incarnation and even the other incarnations of the Doctor that I've watched a little bit of. He's not so different from the modern Doctors. And I did feel like John Hurt did play the Doctor a little bit different than we've ever seen before.
Yeah. I don't know. Hartnell was different. That's my experience, right? I can't go much further than Hartnell, but he definitely seemed more of a selfish doctor. His view wasn't as wide, isn't as broad. He was more focused on his own discoveries and on his own actions, not necessarily the impacts on a universal scale. But
oh, definitely, I don't know. Yeah, definitely. We need to dive into the classic stuff again. I think we keep talking
Hulu.
About watching
Hulu
some
is
of the
pulling me back.
We keep talking about watching the Power of the Daleks animated series, and we never get around to it. So maybe we will.
We'll get there.
Between
we'll get
now
there.
And April, sometime we can catch that stuff.
Right.
But I did. We were talking about the audio drama, the War Doctor, Casualties of War. It actually doesn't come out until April. I was wrong. I think I had heard February, but that might be when it's released in the UK. I don't know. But. So yeah, it doesn't come out until April 30th. So yeah.
But it's the fourth one, so there's three more before it.
Right. Following up that sad news, we have, you know, depending on your opinion, the sad news of Capaldi is leaving Doctor Who.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, right?
Which I know both you and I are, you know, we enjoy Capaldi's version of the Doctor, you know. We've, you know, had pretty good things to say about him, but I know there are a lot of fans out there that haven't necessarily loved this incarnation of the Doctor. So I'm sure there's people that are kind of happy to see this change. Do you think it was time?
I'm honestly pretty surprised, just by some of the comments on the articles that I've read, just by people's reaction to it. It seemed like vast majority of thoughts and comments, at least those that were shared in a more public space, have been along the lines of, we have nothing against Capaldi. The stories he was given were just terrible. That's an interesting perspective in and of itself, but I was surprised at how many people were like, oh man, Capaldi's cool, but hopefully this just means that we're getting better stories now. I think it was time. I think there's something about Chibnall coming on board, new showrunner, and that's where, I mean, Capaldi's leaving next Christmas special. That's going to be his last one. He's done. That's also Moffat's last one. He's done. Chibnall takes over from that point forward. I think it's time. I don't know. It feels like a good time for the transition. It doesn't mean that I'm not a little bit sad about it. I would have loved to see a better story arc with Capaldi without Jenna Coleman. It feels time. Do you have any qualms, any bitterness towards this decision?
No, I like Capaldi a lot. I think he was great as the Doctor, but I think a typical Doctor has a bit of a lifespan in this series. And I think he's had his three seasons, or he will have had his three seasons. And I think that's enough time, you know, until I'm starting to crave something different. So I think after watching this final season with him and the Christmas special, I'll definitely be ready for something different, something new.
What if this season is just
amazing,
incredible? And who knows? Maybe it is, and it's all going to lead up to this incredible ending. But what if it's just the best season ever? Is it going to be somewhat bittersweet at the end, or are we still going to be like, no, it's time?
I think it'll just put a lot of pressure on the next guy, you know? if it goes out with a bang, then the next guy has a lot more to live up to. If it kind of goes out with a fizzle, you know, the next guy is already starting, you know, at an advantage, I think.
And we're using it more in the proverbial guy, right?
I was going to actually correct myself before you jumped in. The next guy or
individual.
The next person to play the Doctor would have a lot to live up to if Capaldi just knocks it out of the park on its final season, which I hope he does. I mean, I hope they give him the scripts that will allow him to really thrive in in this role. Because he, I mean, we've talked about how these past couple seasons have gone, and some episodes have been hit and miss, but I mean, we've never really complained about Capaldi's performance.
Right.
It's always been the stories, or the weird, whatever thing they decide to put in there, if it's a chicken in the moon, or if it's, booger monster, or eye booger monsters. That's not Capaldi. You know, like he's acting what they give him. But I think he's done a great job.
Yeah. And I mean, if we go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes of the podcast, you'll probably find bits and pieces where we might have been critical some of his earlier episodes. Because I know we were both a little bit turned off by the grumpy mean doctor that was, but I don't know, either he's grown on us or grown on me, or his doctor has adjusted. As soon as he came riding in on the tank, it seemed like it was a total pivot in the type of doctor that it was. I'm going to, like you said, he's been solid. He is given the performances. It's just the stories that might not have lived up to what we would have wanted.
Yeah, and I think he has grown on us, and I think the character has grown. You know, that first version of the Doctor that we got. So his first episode of Deep Breath, I think we both, if I'm remembering correctly, I think we both really enjoyed that episode. We were just kind of learning the new Doctor, but, I'm pretty sure we both really liked that episode. It was a pretty solid episode.
Yeah.
I think he has grown as a character, from that first episode where he is kind of mean and grouchy and he's, not happy about, I guess, some recent events. He's become a lot different and a completely different doctor now than we got in that first episode. So I'm a big fan of 12, and I will, look fondly back on many of his episodes, but I'm excited about the possibility of what's coming.
Number 12 or number 13?
He's 12. That's he is the 12th doctor. As people are referring to the next doctor, they're calling him the person the 13th doctor. So it's the War Doctor does not count in the numbering.
No, so. He doesn't. It just hit me square in the face as I was watching the 50th anniversary special again, where they give the sneak peek of Capaldi's eyes as he's flying in the TARDIS, and the comment is made, all 13 of them.
Yes.
Oh yeah, there's 13. Oh yeah. But anyways.
And I still I'm a little confused about how all that works. Like, I watched the 50th anniversary recently as well. It was not as recently as you did, but it was a couple weeks ago. And when it got to that part, I really had a hard time understanding, the whole idea of all these doctors showing up at the same time. And I'm like, wait, so why don't any of them remember? Do they all, all their memory gets wiped because of, I don't know. I was confused.
Yeah, you know what? It was an awesome moment.
When it starts getting all timey-wimey, I stop trying to figure it out because it's like, okay, this does not make any sense at all, but it's just cool that they're all here.
Yeah, I took it. And honestly, in that moment where they showed Capaldi's eyes, that was exciting, right? He was the new doctor. He was coming. One more thought just on Capaldi before we move on to something else. What do you think his regeneration is going to be? Is it too early to start speculating about regeneration? Is it going to be a good one, or is it going to be one that will leave much to be desired?
Man, I don't know. I hope. I mean, there's so many possibilities of how they do this with, he's got to die, right?
He has to somehow.
And we had talked about, I know leading up to kind of Smith leaving, we kind of speculated on, what kind of death is it going to be? They tend to, stray away from violent deaths with the doctors. They always die of some sort of radiation or, whatever. But with some exceptions. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. How is Moffat going to kill the 12th Doctor?
Yeah.
That's going to be exciting to speculate on and think about this entire next season. And I don't know. I hope it's not a Smith type generation. You know, I was not a fan of that. I hated that. But I think even the regeneration we got with the Eighth Doctor, I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
that we got to see that, and that was really cool how that went down. I loved Tennant's regeneration, you know, so something more along those lines, hopefully, and not the silly old man makeup, you know, shooting Time Lord power into the sky. I don't
know. I mean, the seasons matter, but the one thing that crystallizes everything is regeneration, right? That's going to be a moment to think on and talk about. Tennant's regeneration. Seriously, anytime I hear someone say I don't want to go, it still rips my heart out, right? It's going to be those moments that lead up to it. I'm excited to see. It's something to look forward to. As sad as Capaldi leaving is, it's something to look forward to. A new regeneration and a new doctor.
Yeah, and the thing too that's going to be interesting with this is with Tennant, we had the relationships that he had built with the different companions leading up to his regeneration. And I think, you know, he had that moment where before he regenerated, he went back and he saw Rose, he saw the different companions, and then he had his moment to move on. With Capaldi, I don't think we're going to get that. You know, I don't think Jenna Coleman's going to come back for something.
Yeah. How can he remember?
And he's got this new companion that he's only going to have a season with. So it's not going to be, I mean, maybe they will, maybe they'll be able to, you know, tell a good enough story that you kind of buy into this bonding between these two characters in that short amount of time. But I don't know, like it'll be interesting to see how they do it and what the emotional impact is going to be.
I have to ask, does Bill stay on or is she done?
I don't know. It seems to be the trend to, well, I mean, Smith's carried over, and Eccleston's carried over. So, I don't know.
I think it's a clean slate.
You think so?
I think she's done as well.
Do you think maybe they wait to make that decision and see how popular she is with fans? If she, you know, maybe wait through half the season, and you know, if she's, you know, just this ultra popular character, they keep her around. But if she kind of falls flat, then they replace her.
They might wait. But I have a feeling she's done. It's just weird. New showrunner, new doctor, same companion. I feel like there's been so much talk about new direction and essentially new Doctor Who that I have a hard time thinking they'd pull a companion along with. But that's just me. We'll see. And maybe you're right.
I don't even know what I want, you know, because I don't know her yet. You know, we haven't seen that much of her, so. You know, maybe, you know, if she's awesome, I'm going to really hope she does stick around. So, and I think it's kind of a cool dynamic when you have a character who has to deal with the changing of their doctor. You know, with Rose having to deal with the change from 9 to 10. In that first episode, you know, the Christmas invasion, like, she did not like him. You know, she didn't like 10.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that she thought he was kind of cute. She didn't really like him that much. She's like, you're not the doctor. You're weak. You know, why aren't you saving us? And then you have kind of the same thing with, you know, Clara having to get used to Capaldi versus Smith.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of cool to see that. So I don't know. Maybe it would be cool to see her carry over and have that transition where she's, you know, builds this relationship with Capaldi and then she's got to switch to the next person.
I don't know. Too much speculation? Have we speculated too much already this episode?
Hey, we got to fill our time somehow. but as we're speaking of speculation, you know, and I don't want to get too much into this because it's kind of a ridiculous conversation to have anyways, but it's fun, is starting to think about who could the next Doctor be? You know, what actors? Now, I've seen talk, you know, obviously it's one of the things you're going to see on all the pop culture websites right now is people start throwing names out. But then you also have kind of like your – I'm curious to hear yours. If you could pick one actor, not – and it has nothing to do with likelihood, just like your dream casting of this position, of this role, Who would you want to see play the Doctor if you could pick any actor, even if you know there's no way in the world they would ever play the Doctor?
See, it's interesting because I had three thoughts come to mind as far as like what my wish list would be when it initially came up. And I've seen those same names come up on other lists. So I'm just saying that because I don't want to sound like I'm copying anybody, but my go-to is always going to be Idris Elba. Like, that guy is incredible. Watching him in Luther and watching him in just some other movies that he's popped up in, I think he would be such an incredible doctor. But he's also a big name now, right? We're not gonna get him popping up in Doctor Who. At least I don't think he would. If he does, hey, that'd be incredible. I would love him as the Doctor.
So here's my problem with Idris Elba, is he's too cool.
Oh, he is so darn cool.
Yeah, he's too cool. He plays the cool guy. He plays the you know, big, handsome, cool guy. Like, that's not the Doctor.
And that's the thing, because you ask me who I want to be the next Bond, same guy.
Right, so, like, he can play Bond. That makes sense. Yeah. But the Doctor, yeah. You know, like, I mean, Smith, not the, you know, Smith and Tennant, you know, were good-looking guys, but they were, you know, kind of more wiry, goofy, you know, kind of cool. They're attractive because they're intelligent kind of guys. This guy's just, like, he's just, like, the epitome of manhood.
He is something else.
Like, I don't know that he just doesn't fit that role for me.
Yeah, I now that you say it, you're right. He probably doesn't fit.
He could be like an awesome villain in Doctor Who. They bring him in as a villain or something, but I don't know if he plays the Doctor. I don't know if that works.
I don't know, but that's my mind always goes to him just because he's too stinking cool. Hayley Atwell, someone mentioned her a while ago. I think it was even when there was speculation about who was going to be the Doctor before Capaldi. And ever since that was mentioned, it's kind of stuck with me. I think she would be a good fit. And she's British, so hey. That's a plus. And then number three, which is totally new for me, and I just saw him pop up on one of the more recent lists, is Riz Ahmed. Like, I think he would be awesome. I've watched more and more things with him in it, and he always makes me laugh. I like him. He's cool.
I don't think I know him. What's he from?
No? No? You're kidding me, right?
Maybe I'm just not thinking of the name or like
Rogue One.
Oh, okay, okay. Actually, that's who popped into my head, and I thought I was wrong.
Oh, okay. No, you're right.
Yes. Okay. So that, yeah, like, that is a guy that he looks, and you know, he's got that presence that works for the Doctor.
He's tall. He's lanky. He's kind of he's goofy, but you can tell that he can play a serious character. I don't know. I've watched some interviews with him too leading up to Rogue One where it was like he feels like he could be an awesome doctor. But again, like, is he too big of a name? Probably. I don't know. So,
see, I don't think he is. I don't think he's too big of a name. I mean, I just like watched him in Rogue One like five times and I didn't even know the actor's name. like I loved his character in Rogue One. I think he did a great job. But I didn't know the actor's name, you know, not off the top of my head, at least. I had to be reminded. So, I don't think he's such a big star that he couldn't, you know, maybe play the role, but I don't know. Maybe he's a bigger star than I realize. Idris Elba is at that point now where it's very unlikely, I think, he would play the Doctor just because of all the other stuff the other opportunities he has. I kind of hope it's more of an unknown. I hope it's somebody I don't know. You know, like Capaldi. I know he had been in other stuff, but I wasn't familiar with anything that he had done previously. And so it was kind of a fresh face for me. So I'm learning this new character. Whereas if they get an actor that I'm very familiar with, there's gonna be some baggage that comes along with that.
Yeah.
Hayley Atwell, I don't know her enough either to have an opinion on if I think she'd be a good doctor or not. But I feel like you pick names that are still in the realm of possibility. The names I was thinking of when I think Dreamcasting is like names of people that would never ever play the Doctor.
throw a couple out.
So for me, I think Ewan McGregor is an actor that I think I would love to see play the Doctor. I think he would be a really cool doctor. In fact, it came up on a talk show. I think it was, this has been a while now. He was interviewed on a talk show, and somebody had mentioned to him, like, "Hey, you know, people say they'd like to see you play the doctor." And literally, he didn't know what they were talking about. Like, he was not a fan or very aware of what Doctor Who was. So, which
That's
I thought
just
was funny. I'm
wrong.
like, how do you grow up in the UK and not know who Doctor Who or who the Doctor is? But so, Ewan McGregor never going to play the Doctor, but I think that would be a cool casting.
Yeah, I could see it. Like you said, he's cool, but he's not overly cool.
Right,
He's not
exactly.
physically imposing.
Yes. But and he's got a lot of range with acting. If you see the different parts he's played in different movies,
He definitely
so I
does.
think he could.
He's all over the place.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's like I said, right now at this point, it's pretty ridiculous to even speculate, and I'm sure whoever they decide to pick will be somebody that none of us really guessed at.
Have you seen any of the odds that have come up
No, I haven't.
for
No, what's that about?
So it's just the typical like betting, taking odds on who the next doctor is going to be. And so it's a pretty interesting list to take a look at. The first name that is it's in the running, like it has the best odds, is Ben Whishaw, who plays Q in the new Bond movies.
Okay, yeah.
So,
I know that guy. Yeah,
which,
I could see that.
yeah, which I mean, honestly, you look at him, and again, younger doctor. Kind of lanky, goofy looking, but he could work. Skipping over a few, Ben Daniels, he has 8-1 odds. Rupert Grint, the guy who plays Ron Weasley, he has 8-1 odds.
Huh, Rupert Grint. See, that's I could see him as a companion. I don't know. Yeah, doctor, I'd have a hard time buying into that.
Jason Fleming has 8-1 odds, but
You
then these.
I'm just looking at a picture of him right now because I'm looking at the article that you were referring to, and he kind of looks like Tennant. He looks a little like an older Tennant.
Yeah,
So
like you can see it. What really kills me are the Doctor Who other contenders at the bottom of the list. The 12-1 and 20-1 odds. Matt Smith has 20-1 odds. Tom Hiddleston 20-1 odds. David Tennant 20-1 odds. Idris Elba 33-1. Christopher Eccleston 33-1. Eddie Redmayne 33-1. Daniel Craig 33-1. And then Daniel Radcliffe 33-1.
Radcliffe. So just that list, interesting names. You're never gonna get
No,
Hiddleston.
absolutely
I think
not.
like we had talked about Elba, a lot of fans want to see that. I think it's very unlikely. Eddie Redmayne, once again, not gonna happen, but I could totally see that.
Oh yeah,
Just
he could play a great
after
doctor, but
watching
never gonna
Fantastic
happen.
Beasts, he basically played the Doctor in Fantastic
Right.
Beasts. So I could totally see that, but yeah, you're probably not gonna get that either. Unless he just came in with like a one season contract, was like, yeah, I think this would be a fun role to play, but he wouldn't stick around very long. Yeah, hadn't thought of some of these names, but I like the Ben Whishaw. I think that could work.
Yeah, I mean it looks decent. The one name that's noticeably missing, can you guess what name that I'm thinking of that doesn't show up on this list?
Any female?
Oh, I mean, Hayley Atwell's on that. Well,
Was
no,
she on
she's
here?
not.
I think
No,
it was all
she's not.
dudes.
I thought I saw it. Anyways, I was thinking Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. I wouldn't
His
even want to
name
see
comes
that.
up a lot, but
I like him
man.
as Sherlock. I don't want him to play the Doctor. Not even interested in that. I'd take Watson over him. What's the actor's name?
Emma Watson?
No, not Emma Watson. No,
Is
the guy who plays
that
Watson.
even a possibility? We'll take that.
Emma Watson, sure, yeah. I would take Martin Freeman before I would take Benedict Cumberbatch as the Doctor.
I'd take Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman as the Doctor? No, Morgan Freeman as the Master. That would be cool.
That would be scary.
But
Anyway,
now
we've gone so far off board right now.
we're completely fan casting at this point, to the
Yeah.
point of a ridiculous. So I think it's time to move on.
Let's do that.
But it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. We have a whole season with Capaldi left. And it's going to be fun as the season moves on to kind of, and this they're going to announce the next Doctor and maybe the next companion well before the season ever airs. So we'll have plenty of time to
Well, before the next, yeah, there you go. I was gonna say they're gonna wait until Capaldi's totally done before they announce that. Will we know at the Christmas special?
Did they? Yeah, we'd have to. There's no way they're gonna be able to keep it under wraps. That's always such a big thing when they announce the Doctor, because they have to start filming, so they're not gonna be able to keep it a secret.
Okay, so will we know before Capaldi's season is over? Because it starts in April. It's not going to go till Christmas. We're going to have another break.
Because we knew – so think about it this way. We knew Capaldi was going to be the Doctor before the 50th anniversary special and before the Christmas special.
Yeah.
The last time. So, you know, they announced Capaldi. He got his little cameo, and he appeared in the Christmas special. So,
but seasons were structured differently then. Like, now we're going to start in April. We're going to be – I mean, honestly, we're going to be done by July.
And then we'll get the Christmas special and then hopefully start in the next April, right?
So we're – yeah, but are we going to find out – so we're not going to find out until maybe like September, right?
Yeah, so I think we won't find out until after the season has aired, but we will definitely find out before the Christmas special. And
okay.
Because – and also they're probably going to have the guy show up in the Christmas special, which I hope – and now that would be kind of cool if they didn't announce it and then the reveal was actually in the episode.
That would be, yeah.
But I don't think they could do that. I just don't think they can keep it under wraps. And they traditionally haven't even tried to keep these type of things under wraps. I mean, we knew Rory and Amy were leaving half a season before they left. You know, they don't surprise us with these events. They tell us well ahead of time. So, yeah. We will see. But, by this time next year, we will probably be very well aware of who the next Doctor is going to be.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. So much time to get excited about.
Yes, and we had talked about the air date of Doctor Who returning season 10 is April 15th.
Yep.
So we now have a date that's not too far away. I mean, you're talking just a matter of just a couple months, really. Little, probably by the time this episode airs, we're right around 2 months until new Doctor Who.
It's creeping closer, which I'm very, very happy about.
So one of the things that just recently popped up, and maybe we already knew this and I'm forgetting, but Missy's coming back for season 10.
Had the rumors
already come out about this? Because I know that it kind of officially got tipped off to us in that video, that fun video they did of her painting the side of a TARDIS right. The other day. But I know, when we did our big breakdown of the upcoming season, we went through all the episodes, everything we know. Did we talk about Missy?
I don't think Missy ever came up. Okay. I think, so like the way that her character was left last season where she was with the Daleks and she said she had this big plan, it kind of lent itself, since she really didn't show back up, that she would be showing up at some point in the future. So I don't know if it was anything that anybody was actually ever in doubt about.
Makes sense. It's not a huge surprise that she's coming back, but now it's kind of, you know, they have now tipped their hand. It's official. Missy will be returning to season 10 of Doctor Who.
And I have to ask, and we can do whatever you want to do with this, but is this her last season?
That actress? Or
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think they retire this version of the Master with this version of the Doctor. And we get a new Master.
I concur.
So, yeah. She works well with Capaldi. I like her as the Master, but just like with the Doctor, I like to see some things change. So I'm curious to see the next version of the Master.
Yeah, she's downright bananas.
She's a little she's a little more crazy than than I can take sometimes with that character.
She plays it so darn well, though. So well.
But I'm trying to think of like the episodes that we talked about, if any of them make sense for her to return in. I guess anything with the Daleks maybe would be one that we'd likely see her in. But it was long enough ago that we talked about those episodes that I'm not remembering titles or you know, summaries.
Yeah, I just know that we talked about the MOG robots, which we've gotten a clear picture of now. And I think that's the only thing that I. Oh, and the giant wood lice below the floorboards.
Yeah, I know we had talked about. I feel like we had talked about Daleks at some point, but yeah, I know Gatiss has recently been talking a little bit about the upcoming season. He had said something about sci-fi references that are going to be kind of a thing because Moffat wanted to. Oh man, I'm wishing I had the article pulled up. But basically, Moffat was kind of wanting to acknowledge the fact that, you know, sci-fi is something that people would talk about.
Yeah.
So I guess Bill is going to maybe recurringly bring up sci-fi movies or TV shows that she's relating to events that are happening to them.
Yeah, I remember catching some reference to that where, yeah, the Doctor is oblivious to sci-fi and Bill continues to bring it up. And I also, that when with Gatiss, and I don't know if this would be considered spoiler just because it's been thrown out there so much, but he mentioned that the Ice Warriors are returning.
Yes, I did. That was the other thing. Yeah, so, yeah. So who knows? But Gatiss, he's still got to earn his way back with me with that last episode.
And he's picked a doozy, right? He's picked a doozy of a character to try to resurrect again.
Yeah, so we'll see. He did good. He did good in the final episode of Sherlock. I'll give him that. Good actor, but he needs to brush up, or he needs to work on his writing, his writing chops for Doctor Who, because I've not been impressed the last couple ones.
He's had some doozies.
He's just been too busy. Maybe now that Sherlock's over, he can focus more on his Doctor Who writing.
Yeah, I mean, once every 4 years definitely eats up a schedule, right?
They're like movies, though. They're basically making like 4 movies or 3 movies every however often. So, but we had brought up earlier Funko. We were talking about Funko vinyl pops, or is that what they call them?
Yeah, pop vinyls.
Pop vinyls. Yes, I reversed it. Yeah, we were talking about Funko pop vinyls, and Funko's is making some new Playmobil characters, like collectible characters. Across a number of different franchises, but they're doing a couple Doctors, which I don't like. I never played with Playmobil, so it doesn't have like a nostalgic thing for me. So when I first heard about this, I was like, probably not something I would want. But then I went to the website, looked at them, and I was like, those actually look kind of cool. I think I want them.
Yeah, same with you. Like growing up, Legos were definitely the thing. Not so much Playmobil. That said, they had some pretty awesome pirate ships that I remember looking at in toy catalogs and thinking, oh, that'd be awesome. But yeah, when I first caught the headline that Playmobil was releasing Doctor Who figurines, it was like, that doesn't seem like it will work all that well. And then you look at them and you're right. They're decent. I mean, they look kind of cool. It'd be kind of cool to have them standing up on my desk.
And they're made by Funko, and Funko does a good job building these or making these little collectibles. So yeah, if I see them and the price isn't ridiculous, I'll probably pick them up. There's only two. It's the 11th Doctor and the 4th Doctor, which I guess has the 11th Doctor kind of kicked the 10th Doctor out as far as like kind of the iconic modern Doctor, because it used to be like 10 and 4 were the two that would get made first, but now I feel like 11 maybe has bumped 10 out.
I kind of feels that way, right?
Yeah.
He hasn't totally.
Bow ties are cool.
I mean, someday you'll walk by a Fez and not pick it up. But
I think the with the 11th Doctor is kind of the big push into the U.S. fandom. Started with Smith, and so I think they're trying to capitalize on that. I mean, if. When you talk to people about kind of their favorite doctors, he's usually in the conversation.
Yeah, and he's super visible right now still.
Yeah, he's still popping up and stuff for sure. But yeah, so they're just those two doctors. Maybe, who knows, they might make more eventually. But I might pick them up. Playmobil, for people that don't know what that is, it's this old like classic toy that basically looks like kind of a gigantic Lego. Like, as far as they still have, like, the clawed hands, and it's made out of plastic, but they're, like, stretched out. They're, like, taller, and they have round heads. So, Google it.
they all come with, I mean, both of them come with a Sonic, so that's pretty cool.
Yes. And to get even more childish, the Daleks are showing up in the Lego Batman movie.
It's pretty sad when the Lego Batman movie is more childish than Playmobil.
It isn't. It was just a good transition.
I don't know. It looks pretty. It looks pretty interesting.
I think. Did you see the Lego movie?
I did. I love all of them. And honestly, like watching the previews for the Batman movie, I crack up laughing at every preview just because it's so ridiculous. But and Will Arnett is a great Batman.
Yeah, I think that they have a great voice cast for this one. A lot of good comedians are involved. And yeah, Will Arnett is maybe the best version of the Batman that's ever been on film. I'm actually super excited for the Lego Batman movie. I will be seeing it tomorrow on my birthday. It's actually nice. What me and my wife are doing for my birthday. She asked what I want to do. I said, I want to go see the Lego Batman movie. So, yes. And we actually had speculated about this or talked about this in the past. As this movie got announced, and I think there was a rumor that there was going to be some Doctor Who elements in the movie, and so I guess that has now that's now true. I think that in the trailer you can actually see Daleks, so that it's been confirmed. But I believe for people, there have been some people that have seen the movie, like critics and stuff, and I think based on the article that I read, it seemed like it was coming from someone that had already seen the movie and describing their appearance. So the Daleks will be in the Lego Batman movie in multiple scenes. Unfortunately, I don't think the Doctor made the cut, though. I know there had been some speculation the Doctor might show up too, but did not see that.
It's just, it's so, I don't know, it's surprising to me, right? Like, Lego got the licensing. They've done it with their Lego Dimensions. I was talking to a guy the other day who's like, hey, you like Doctor Who, right? And I was like, yeah, you could say that. And he's like, oh, I need to get into it because I was playing the Lego Dimensions game and they show up. It's like, yeah. And so like Lego is starting to do more and more with Doctor Who. So for them to show up in the Lego Batman movie, that's surprising, but it's also really cool. Like, it's giving me hope that it will start to do more and more stuff with it.
Yeah, and it seems like what they have decided to make as part of the Lego Dimensions game is very much related to what shows up in the Lego movies. And so a lot of the characters, even if it's not like a main character, like Wonder Woman shows up as a cameo in the Lego, in the original Lego movie. And then she got her own figure in Dimensions. And I heard Voldemort is going to show up, like the Harry Potter villain Voldemort is going to show up. Yeah. In the Batman movie, and he, you know, has his own character in Lego Dimensions. So I kind of was hoping, because Doctor Who was such a focus of Lego Dimensions, that he may make some sort of an appearance. And maybe he does. Maybe they just don't want to spoil it, and so it hasn't come out yet. But, even if it's just the Daleks, just getting some kind of a Doctor Who reference in this kind of movie, which, you know, it's going to be a big movie. A lot of people are going to see it. So it's cool exposure for the franchise.
91% fresh.
Lego Batman?
Yeah. Lego Batman, 91% fresh.
Yeah. I mean, if just from the previews I've seen, it looks like it's going to be hilarious. And I'm a big fan of the character of Robin. I've always been a big fan of that character, kind of more the comic version than the 60s Batman version. But this version of Robin, though, it has you cringe. You're like, oh my goodness, what have they done to this character?
Get this. Batman Begins, 84% fresh. Lego Batman, 91% fresh.
There you go. Lego Batman is better than Batman Begins.
According to the critics right now.
Right. But yeah, so I'm going to see that tomorrow and check out the Daleks appearance.
Nice. And honestly, that's cool that they made it in. It's really cool.
And I'll let you know, well, unless you don't want to be spoiled, but I'll let you know if there's a Doctor appearance.
Oh, I want to know. I'm all about spoilers. So totally let me know about that, and I'll probably sneak out with the kids at some point to see it. Both of them are just absolutely enthralled by every trailer that they've seen for the movie.
Lego just needs to capitalize on this Doctor Who stuff and make some more sets. Because so far they've only made the one set. We have very minimal amounts of minifigs. I need a full set of 13 Doctors.
I was going to say, at least do that. I mean, yes, it's ripe for the picking when it comes to material and sets that could be built. But at least give us the Doctors.
Yeah, and they do these cool little like blind bag minifig series. That usually have, you know, anywhere from 16 to 20 characters. And they're doing one for the Batman movie. And that would be perfect for a Doctor Who-themed minifig run in the blind bags. And they could do all 13 Doctors. And if they want to do, you know, 20 characters, then they could do 7 of the companions. But that would be a really cool run, and I would be buying them up. So here's hoping.
If they do the blind bags, I'm just going to be on eBay. Oh, my heart can't take blind bags.
That's half the fun, man.
Oh, my heart can't take it.
I get really excited about blind bag stuff until I get like the same character like 3 times, and then I start to lose the interest. But the first few that you open up where you're like, "Oh, which one am I going to get?" That's like I've started collecting the Lego Batman ones, and I don't want the whole series, but there are a few characters in there. They have a really cool Harley Quinn, they have a really cool Joker. And so I went out and bought a handful of them the other night, and I got Joker in like my first 3 bags. I was super excited about that. So
now, do you stand there and do you like feel it up to see if you can tell which is which?
I don't do that. I have a friend who is really good at that. In fact, when they had the Disney ones, he could guarantee me what one would be. He would go to the store with me, and he'd like kind of jostle it around in his hand a little bit, feel for certain pieces, and then be like, "Oh, it's Buzz Lightyear." I'm like, "Okay, cool." So he has not studied the Batman ones yet, so I don't know if he could help me out. But so far, I've only bought like 6 of them and got like 2 that I wanted.
Nice. We do that with the My Little Pony blind bags. We go to Walmart and we feel up all the little My Little Pony ones to see if we can guess the right ponies.
I'm like just admitting that I know this is sad, but the My Little Pony blind bags, they had a run of them that actually had a little window that you could look in and see.
Yep.
A little heart-shaped window. Why do we know this stuff?
We know that one.
We have daughters, that's why. But
all right, yep, that's exactly it.
All right, and on that My Little Pony note, I think it's a good time to end this episode of Bad Wolf Radio.
Let's do it.
This is episode 60, by the way. I know we don't normally like say the number of our episodes in the rundown, but episode 60. So
dang,
we've done, and we've been doing this since 2013.
Man,
so we
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years, and keep on trucking with Doctor Who.
Yeah, as long as the season goes.
All right, so we will wrap this episode up. As usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. And actually, I want to implore you to leave us a review on iTunes. I was going over there today, actually, out of curiosity, because I know we have, you know, we don't have a huge audience, but we have an audience, and I know we have a lot of people that listen to us, and we hear from them from time to time, but we don't have a ton of iTunes reviews. In fact, the latest one is pretty old. So if you listen to our show and you really enjoy it,
You just listen to it.
No, I mean, yeah. If you listen to our show and you have a strong enough opinion to go to iTunes and leave us a review, we'd love to hear that review. It definitely, we'd love to hear it, and it helps with it just helps us gain some visibility over there at iTunes. The more reviews that we get, so if you've thought once you're listening to our episode, you're like, "Man, these guys are really fun to listen to," like, go type that into iTunes. But other than that, you can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook Bad Wolf Radio. Search for us. We are the one with the black and white logo. We are not the one that we were talking about earlier in this episode. And you can always send us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com, and find us on the Pod Tyrant Network over at geektyrant.com. So until next time.
Later days.